Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 13. John, the Gospel, and the 13th chapter. I've entitled our message today, More Like the Master. Let's read together. I'll read and you follow along from chapter 13 and verses 12 down to 17. Jesus here in the upper room with the disciples. John 13, 12 through 17. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. It will always be a paradox in our minds to see Christ, the Master and the servant. We understand well that to be a master or a ruler is to be high, to be lifted up, to be revered in the eyes of others. And we likewise understand that to be a servant is to be low and used and often disdained. But for us to try to see Jesus as the King of all kings and as the servant of all, we admit a problem. How can the highest be also the lowest? And further to this paradox is the teaching of Jesus to his disciples and to all his children that to be great, to be first, one must be the servant of all. One must be last. From a purely human standpoint, this makes no sense. But in God's economy, the way to be exalted is to humble ourselves. I received my Bible college training in Wisconsin at Northland Baptist Bible College. And our president's name was Dr. Les Olala, and he was a man of a tremendous servant leadership. And there's a story that one of the faculty members tells of this being lived out in his life as an illustration. Doc O, we all fondly called him, was on his way back to Northland from a conference or a church meeting. And Northland is in the trees. There's nothing around for miles and miles. And so he's driving on the back roads to the college, and he's dressed in his Sunday best, suit and tie. And he noticed as he's driving by a property that a large tree had fallen down over the driveway into this property. And there by the tree, standing there looking troubled, was an older lady, probably wondering how in the world she's going to get this tree out of her driveway. And so he noticed that as he's driving by, and he slowed down and turned around and came back and drove into that lady's driveway. And he got out of his car, and he kind of asked, this is the situation, and she kind of said, you know, this just happened, and I can't certainly move this. I don't know how to take care of the problem. And there wasn't anything else exchanged. That was just kind of it. And Doc O kind of walked back to his car, and she walked into her house. Well, in Wisconsin, it's not abnormal to have a chainsaw in the trunk of your car. It would be abnormal here in Calgary, but not for Doc O. He grew up in the woods as a lumberjack. And so he just went to his car, took off his suit jacket and his tie, pulled his chainsaw out of the trunk, and began to cut up this lady's tree. And he didn't just cut it up into sections that could be rolled out of the way, but he cut it up so it could be useful for firewood in proper lengths. And then just got back in his car and drove away. He didn't go into the house knock on the door to get that pat on the back, that, oh, thank you so much. He just left and went on his way to the college. And, of course, this lady, later on, noticing that this had happened, didn't know who the man was that stopped in front of her house. And after some digging and asking of neighbors, they figured out who it was. And so the story came to be told to the student body, not from Dr. O, of course. But servanthood was modeled by our president. And he taught to all the students as a manner of life and ministry this model of servanthood, of servant leadership. In fact, to every graduate of Northland Baptist Bible College, there was given a towel that you would drape over your arm, just a hand towel, to signify the towel of Jesus as he washed the disciples' feet. And on the towel were printed in the college's dark green colors, "Be great, serve." And that was handed to each graduate of the college. The character of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is to flow out of all of those who named his name. And I want to submit to you today that the character of the highest is that of a servant. And I think we see that in this passage. This was the heart of Jesus for his disciples in this passage in John's Gospel. It's his desire for you and for me this morning, the desire for us to be more like the Master. The paradox I spoke about a minute ago is displayed for us in the beginning of this chapter, where Jesus assumes the position of a servant and washes his disciples' dirty feet. The Master, the teacher, washing the feet of his servants, of his pupils. And we joined the story, as we read in verse 12, just as he finished and sat down. Let's look at verse 12 again. This here is where Jesus demonstrates servanthood. Jesus demonstrates servanthood. So, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? Do you know what I have done to you?" He asks them the question, not necessarily expecting an answer, but to have their attention as he explains what just happened. And I imagine seeing the eyes of the disciples fixed on him. Perhaps some of them already in their minds trying to figure out what just happened and why it just happened. One commentator has said this about this account. He said, "None of the disciples were interested in washing each other's feet. Any of them would gladly have washed Jesus' feet, but they could not wash his feet without having to be available to wash the other's feet." And that would have been an intolerable admission of inferiority among their fellow competitors for the top positions in the disciples' hierarchy. So, no one's feet got washed. And thus Christ did the washing. In speaking about this paradox, I've many times looked at it like this. Christ was simply showing what to do, as any good teacher would. He was giving a model for his disciples to follow. And yes, he is. That's true. He is showing the way. He says as much here in verse 15, where he says, "For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you." But Jesus is not just a model of servanthood. He has in his character and nature servanthood. Remember, as we read the book of John is Christ showing to us the Father, displaying for us what the Father is like. And so as we gaze into John's Gospel, we must remember that. He is not simply living for us what God acts like, but what God is like. And our God is a God who serves. Another commentator said this, "The form of God was not exchanged for the form of a servant, It was revealed in the form of a servant. In the washing of their feet, though they did not understand it at the time, they saw a rare unfolding of the authority and the glory of the incarnate Word, and a rare declaration of the character of the Father himself." That's the picture that Jesus was displaying for his disciples. He displays for us the character of a servant here, as well throughout all his ministry, and really in all the gospel accounts. Almost word for word, Matthew 20, verse 28, and Mark 10, verse 45, Jesus says this to his disciples, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The character of our Lord was that of a servant. Luke 22, 27, Jesus asked this question of his disciples, "For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." Jesus' character was that of service. He demonstrates servanthood. Verses 13 through 15, Jesus expects servanthood. Look at verse 13 with me. Jesus is communicating to his disciples and he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Jesus wasn't simply acting out of a show of service here, as if the disciples had no idea what a servant looked like. It wasn't a lesson in how to recognize a servant. Jesus was showing men who were naturally driven to pursue chief spots and greatness and superiority that the character and nature of their teacher, of their God, was service. And the character of their teacher ought to be caught by them too. Another commentator said this, "One of the highest glories of a Christian is that of simple humility, modeled here by Christ for us in this passage." Jesus, speaking again to his disciples in Luke 17, speaking about servanthood, says this, "So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have only done that which we ought to have done.'" We're simply servants of the Lord, Jesus says. We ought not to expect the greatness and the exaltation. Jesus was not asking his disciples here to merely show formality either when serving one another. Like happens in some churches and denominations today where they actually have foot washing ceremonies and they'll just do foot washing as a demonstration. That wasn't what Jesus' purpose was, to just have the disciples merely show formality when serving each other. But he desired them to have the same inward character as he did. "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." The same inward character that he did, of which is born an attitude and a heart of servanthood. And Paul echoes this in the famous kenosis passage in Philippians chapter 2, where he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Just like we as parents expect from our kids the things that we labor to teach them, we expect that from them. And we sorrow when they ignore it or they fall away from it. And just so Jesus expected his men to be as he was, as he had taught them. Peter, I think, eventually caught that. And you remember the story of Peter in the foot washing, how he balked at Christ washing his feet. And then when Christ said, "If I don't do this, you have no part with me," "Well then, Lord, wash all of me." But Peter caught this in his first epistle. If you would like to turn there, 1 Peter 1, Peter talks about, in a couple of passages here I'll share, about catching the character of the Lord. 1 Peter 1, the first one I'll show you, doesn't deal necessarily with servanthood. Verses 14 through 16, Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' Peter displaying the importance of catching the character of Christ. And he goes on into chapter 4. And speaks a little bit about service and love. Verse 7. Peter says this, "The end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And I think to God's glory, Peter caught the character of Christ as Christ wanted him to. So Jesus demonstrated servanthood in his foot washing of the disciples. He communicated that he expects the same kind of example, the same kind of servanthood in 13 to 15. And then here at the end of our passage, Jesus, in verses 16 and 17, Jesus blesses servanthood. Read these verses with me. "Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." What, in your memory, had occurred just before this upper room meal, according to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22? There was an argument, wasn't there, with the disciples? And they were arguing over who was going to get to wash one another's feet, weren't they? They weren't. It seems mind-boggling when we look back at it, but we know our hearts are the same. There was a dispute about who would be greatest among them in God's kingdom. And Jesus addresses that in each of the gospel accounts. Here, John records for us part of his addressing that was this example that he displayed for his disciples. He didn't chide them. He didn't scold them. He simply laid out for them an example of how they ought to live for one another, of what the focus of our lives ought to be in a congregation of believers, in the family of God. What a teacher these men walked with. Simply and powerfully, he showed them his character, that of a servant. He said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him." So, in other words, the things that I've just done, those are the things that you ought to do also. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you know these things, the idea there, to know of anything, to know how, or to be skilled in something. If this is something that you know how to do, then the one who does it is blessed if he does it. So as his disciples, they would know that if their master was a servant, then that was not too low of a place for them to go. In fact, it would be wrong for them to go higher if they were going to model the character of Christ. If he's a servant, then I too must be a servant. Knowing here without doing is kind of as empty as not knowing at all. In fact, it's actually sinful according to James. Him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Jesus says here, if you know these things, if you know how to do them, you're blessed if you do them. You're blessed if you act rightly. You're blessed if you do it well, if you carry it out, if you execute what you know. Just as there is excitement and jubilation when a sports play is perfectly executed, there's high fives in the end zone or whatever, there is joy and blessing when we do well what we know is the right thing to do. There's blessing in that. There's joy in that. When we do well, what we know is the right thing to do. In our situation here, in the disciples' situation, when we do well serving one another, when we do well washing one another's feet. When I was 14 or 15, we were at a youth group meeting where one of the teachers called out a couple of volunteers, or he just picked a couple of us, I don't remember. But I was picked, and another teen girl was picked. And she was given the blessing of washing my feet as an object lesson of humility and service. Now, that was not done with a character of servanthood at that point, rather just the outward show of such for the sake of the lesson. And I don't blame her when my 14 and 15-year-old feet, but an example of being chosen to do something such as that and just getting it done for the sake of doing it is not what Jesus was getting at here. If you know how to do it, it's something that you know you ought to do, you're blessed if you do it well. You're blessed if you do it well. It's more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20:35. Blessing comes, Jesus says here, to the ones who are serving rather than the ones who are seeking to be served. Can I share with you what used to be one of my pet peeves? And I say used to be because it's really true. God used this thing in my life to teach me a little bit about humility and about servant leadership. I used to hate seeing a roll of empty toilet paper on the dispenser. Anybody else feel that with me? Maybe God's going to help you too. And worse than that. Okay, that's one thing, but worse than that, if you see the empty roll and a fresh roll on the counter on top of the where it should be placed. Anybody ever seen that before? I used to get so angry about that, to my shame. Just inside, of course, never outwardly. And I would angrily take that fresh roll, replace it on the dispenser, and in my mind, I'd say, it takes 5 seconds to replace the roll of toilet paper. My wife or my kids should have that figured out. I shouldn't have to do this. This should be taken care of. And God turned the tables on me one time. Christy and I were actually reading a book together about marriage. And the guy writing the book used this exact illustration. And God struck my heart because what the fellow addressed was and what turned the tables in my mind as I sit there angrily looking at that toilet paper that should be on the part where the empty roll is, and I say in my mind, it takes 5 seconds. This fellow in the book said, yeah, Greg, it just takes 5 seconds to replace the roll of toilet paper, so change it. Do it. Be a servant. Don't get upset about it. And that really struck me in it. And by God's grace, I try to maintain that model in my household. Simple, funny illustration, but that's the heart, I think, behind what Jesus is teaching his disciples. What we ought to be looking for is not something to complain about or not something to get frustrated with that should be done better, but for opportunities to serve one another. No matter how low or mean the job is, to serve one another. Please bow your heads this morning. I asked this question, how could our families be changed and our church be changed if I, instead of being frustrated about things left undone, just humbly, graciously, maybe even privately, without anybody seeing or without any fanfare, just changed the toilet paper roll? Jesus, in his supreme example of humility and servanthood, displayed for his disciples the character of the God of heaven, who came not to be served, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's follow the lead of our Lord. Let's serve one another. Perhaps as a parent, it seems like all you do is serve. Don't believe the lie of Satan that serving is hateful. It's what our Lord demonstrates. It's what he expects of our children, of his children. It's what he blesses. So by God's grace, find joy in serving. Perhaps as a child or a teen you know of, and maybe even take advantage of the service of your parents or of older siblings. Or maybe you've been able to manipulate your younger siblings to serve your wants and needs. Jesus says, be a servant. Be like me. Look for ways that you can serve in your home and in your church. If God has shown you some area where you can follow his example of service better, quietly, privately talk to him about that while the piano plays today. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ and his supreme example. Ultimately, in giving of his very life for our salvation on the cross. Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. We want to have your character. And we pray that you would, by your grace, begin to continue to work that out in us. Help us to be looking for opportunities to serve. Help us not to shy away at the jobs that maybe don't bring any recognition or fanfare, or maybe they're just not that great. And help us to seek for the betterment, for the encouragement of our brothers and sisters. We're so thankful for this church family. And pray that you'd grow us in your grace. Father, we want to remember this morning as well our brother and sister, Bob and Ann, and lift them up in this time and encourage. Draw them near to you. And we ask for your grace in this moment. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.